Welcome back, everybody. Or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. If you are in your car and arriving home before 4 o'clock, you're going to want to stay in your car because there is an absolutely massive interview coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am so thrilled and so excited. I had the opportunity to speak with the First Lady of Minnesota earlier this morning, very early this morning, and that interview is going to be the very last thing you hear from me today here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So keep it locked. That's going to be the last segment of the day. It was both fun and extremely enlightening to talk with Gwen Walls, wife of Governor Tim Walls. Very impressed with the First Lady of Minnesota. And she just also seems like a lovely Midwesterner, like so many of our neighbors. Boy, she's a regular person. And isn't that nice to see in our elected officials and their spouses? You know, less weird, more regular people. I like it. You're not going to want to miss that. That is the last interview of this installment of the Maggie Dawn Show today. We're going to be getting that in the last segment. Today, I just wanted to finish up today before we get to that interview. I just wanted to address a couple of excellent questions that I got during our last segment, which was Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. I was joined by Jeff Clements, who runs American Promise. He's the CEO, and they're working to pass a constitutional amendment to help take big money out of politics. And the reason it has to be a constitutional amendment, as Jeff explained, is because of the Supreme Court that has said that basically any other legislative limitations on spending in politics and elections are unconstitutional violations of the First Amendment. And so we have to change our Constitution to tell the Supreme Court that corporations are not people and that money is not speech. But one of you very astute listeners asked me, how exactly does ratifying a constitutional amendment occur? Do voters directly get to vote on whether to ratify the constitutional amendment? And the answer to that is no. It is the state legislatures that have to vote to ratify the amendment. There's a couple of ways that a constitutional amendments can get started. All of our 27 amendments to the Constitution always came forward by a proposal from Congress with a two-thirds majority vote. You got to get it in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Two-thirds of both bodies have to say, this is the proposed constitutional amendment. If that happens, it doesn't go to the president's desk, right? Because that is not a matter for the president to decide. Once you get those two-thirds votes to consider a constitutional amendment, usually in modern times, there's been a time period, a time limit by which the states have to consider the amendment. It then gets passed to the states. It's interesting. The National Archives and Records Administration Office of the Federal Register actually takes the original documentation from Congress and adds legislative history notes to it, to this joint resolution, again, having to come from both the House and the Senate, and publishes it. And then they assemble an information package for the states that has the legislation and all the legislative history notes. And then it also includes any of the formal red lines or versions of the amendment that may have been debated by the House and the Senate. And then they basically submit that to the states for their consideration. There's like a formal letter of notification that goes to the governor of each state, along with all this informational material prepared by the National Archives. And then the governors are required to formally submit that amendment to their state legislatures. And then the state legislatures have to vote, and you have to get to 38 of the 50 states ratifying, their state legislatures ratifying, in other words, adopting the constitutional amendment. And that paperwork has to get sent back to the National Archives. And in an interesting note about Wisconsin's role in one of the constitutional amendment processes, the constitutional amendment giving women the right to vote Wisconsin ratified it, and there was actually a race to see which state would get its ratification documents to the National Archives first, which I think is really cool. And Wisconsin actually took the vote and put a guy on a train so that he could beat the other states that were also trying to be first to the archives with their ratification documents. But ladies and gentlemen, especially the Wisconsinites listening out there, to all of you, you will be very proud to know that Wisconsin got their ratification documents, giving women the right to vote, that constitutional change, to the National Archives first. So that is, we have a long and proud history in the state of Wisconsin about that. But folks, after all of this deep discussion this afternoon, and certainly we're going to have another deep dive tomorrow, we've got Tom Paulsiewicz joining me. We're going to dissect Donald Trump's comments before the Economic Forum of Chicago yesterday. We got all that sound ready to go for tomorrow. We're going to take a bunch of that sound. I'm going to point out all the lies that Donald Trump told people in that meeting. It's also just a bunch of nonsense. One theme, I won't bury the lead, is that Donald Trump responds to questions about major policy issues and questions by referencing anecdotes. Oh, well, I talked to this guy, and this guy told me that blah, blah, blah. We're all familiar with this. He actually never answers the questions. I took careful account throughout the hour and 10-minute interview of whether or not Donald Trump actually answered the questions that he was asked. And he was only asked about six of them. And he legit doesn't answer any of the questions straightforwardly. He just references these random anecdotes. Now, I'll tell you this, as an economist and a lawyer and someone that's worked in government for a long time, anecdotes do not make policy. The only people who rely on anecdotes to make policy are people who have the ego of a giant who think that their personal experience defines the universe. You get what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, if I have happened to experience this thing one time, well, then that one time means that that's how it always works. In other words, a small-minded, narcissistic, you know, sociopath would rely on anecdotes to craft the United States foreign or economic policy. Turns out that's exactly what Donald Trump does. And many of the questions that he was being asked at the Economic Forum were about the overall impacts of policies on small businesses and the middle class. And Donald Trump never answered any of those questions. But Tom Paulsiewicz and I, one of the most reasonable guys in politics, a two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, Navy veteran. He's my co-host on Thursdays for an hour from 2 to 3. We're going to dissect that tomorrow. We're going to point out all the whys. You're not going to want to miss that. Then Tom and I are going to be joined by one of the leaders of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the importance of the youth vote, building on today's discussion. For Sounds Like Change, Christina Reynolds, the Senior Vice President of Communications and Strategy at Emily's List. So we're going to build on that discussion tomorrow with one of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, one of their leaders. Really looking forward to that. All that coming up. And of course, Gwen Walls at the end of this show. But y'all, I got to take a little break from the politics. If you got any final political thoughts, we'll take them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But then I want to tease you with this final topic of the day. And Aaron, you are welcome to chime in. Aaron Zommer's on the board, part of the Maggie Dawn Show team. Because I happened to read a little article about this and it got me thinking. The article was about, what is the thing that bugs you most about modern technology? And the writer went off for quite some time about email. And I have a whole litany of email pet peeves, like a ton of them. Many, many, many email pet peeves. I want to know what everybody's email or tech pet peeve is. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. What is your technology pet peeve? And it doesn't count to call up and say you hate social media. No, 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 no. That's just a given. Everybody like love hate social media. We all doom scroll. We all rage text and post. We get that. Don't give me the generics. I want specifics because I have you'll all be not very surprised to hear. I have a whole litany of peeves about tech. 855-75-CIVIC. I want to give Mark from Prairie du Sac, who's been a very patient friend of the show here, a shot at what he would like to share this afternoon. Politics are still fair game, Mark. You've been waiting. Or, of course, you can give me your thoughts on what bothers you most about tech these days.
Well, I don't know about tech, but I actually posted on the Facebook page a quote from Abigail Adams, her complaint, her plaint to her husband, John Adams, on March 31st of 1776, more or less, don't forget the ladies, that women, she more or less is saying, women shouldn't rely on men to decide their fates, and, you know, that I don't have the exact quote in front of me right now, but, you know, it's the misogyny, you know, dates back to even back then, because if I remember right from history class, that while John Adams was doing his thing during the Revolutionary War, and then fleeing off to Europe to, you know, defend, you know, to make political points for the United States, Abigail was back at home running the farm. And she was saying, you know, back in 1776, that women should have a right to say something in politics. And I think that too many of our politicians today just want to put women back to pre-1776 and say, just keep your mouth shut, your men know the best thing for you, and, you know, just be quiet.
Yeah, zip it. Zip it, ladies. Well, I think women are going to send a really strong message to J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, and the Theo bros that J.D. Vance follows, many of whom who have explicitly endorsed the idea that the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote was a mistake, that men should be the head of households and that households should be allocated votes, and that men, as the head of the household, should determine how those votes are cast in our elections. I'm not making that up. Go read about it. The Theo bros, this is part of their fundamental approach to the world. J.D. Vance, one of those Theo bros, an acolyte, pun intended, of a lot of their teachings and thinking. That's why he says, you know, he's waded in on the weak sauce version of that. Like, oh, childless cat ladies and women without children. You should have your votes. Those should just count less because you're not fully human. But we're going to save more of my political hair on fire thinkings for tomorrow. Folks, we got the Gwen Walls interview coming up next. Aaron Zommers, I want to give you a crack at it. What, you got a couple of favorite tech peeves?
Yeah, I think my favorite tech pet peeve is the constant need to reinvent the wheel in tech. Like, for example, the Windows Start menu. Fantastic. Why we got to move it to the middle? Why do you got to add all this other weird stuff with it? Why do you have to make it harder to find things? It, like, they just, every tech company has to change everything every new release instead of using systems that work.
Yeah, it's a real bugger. I have to say, the reformatting, the updating of systems, I always dread it when I get my, oh, systems upgrade, because I'm never going to be able to find anything after the upgrade happens. It's ridiculous. But I got to tell you, one of my biggest tech pet peeves is the fact that there are so many ways to get in touch with a person. It used to be snail mail and the telephone. Because what happens now is I get a text message, I get an email about the text message, I get a voicemail alerting me to the email and the text message. Stop! One point of contact is plenty.
And Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat.
It's too much. Too much. I can't keep track of it all. And then you got the DMs and all that. The best way to get in touch with me is always on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we got the First Lady of Minnesota coming up next. That's going to be our closeout segment of the day. I pre-recorded it, so I'm going to say to you all right now, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Keep it locked for this incredible interview with Gwen Walls, wife of Vice Presidential Candidate Tim Walls. Up next here.